Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and thank you for listening to the Often Daunted podcast. We have another great episode for you this week. This is the final one with the two-week break because after today, we finally have some real basketball to discuss on the podcast. Looking forward to, what's to come in this season. Going to be talking about the Tennessee game in this one, so please tune in. You picked a good episode. If this is your first time on the Often Daunted podcast, my name is Burke White. I'm basically just an Indiana fan who started having a family, started slowing down, and really wanted to talk ball. Unfortunately, all the girls in my house currently do not want to talk ball with me, so I'm talking to you. Thank you for tuning into the show. If you would like to, please feel free to follow me across all socials at Often Daunted. Follow goes a long way in just helping me keep this thing going. It's just a little fuel in the tank for myself. I appreciate the hell out of it. Please, if you like the show, subscribe on YouTube, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you may be hearing or watching me. Awesome, awesome show today. On today's show, we will be discussing the Indiana news, just tidbits from around the program. I will be getting into Hoosier Hysteria, my experience there, because me and those girls made the trip. It was a great time. A little more on that to come. After that Indiana news, as we do each show, we will get into the national news, some of the conference news, including some of the outcomes of some of the Big Ten charity exhibition games that we've seen so far. Then I will get on to Burke's Big Five. This week it is the Big Ten basketball brand identities. Who do I respect as the Big Five basketball brand identities? Finally, I will get to the preview of an opponent. Finally, we are at the cusp of basketball season, and I have an opponent to discuss. Meaning next episode, I will have actual ball to discuss. I will get to size up what we saw in the Hoosiers. We can theorize everything. The scrimmages. I'm going to get into it. A scrimmage is a scrimmage, but we can finally discuss the actual basketball being played on the court. It's exciting, guys. We're finally there. And I'll be getting into that. But first, previewing that Tennessee matchup with Michael from the Vol Fanatics podcast. It was just good to get some insight into what's to come Saturday in Knoxville. He admitted he's a closeted IU fan, so it was an absolutely great time. That interview, that sit down to follow on this episode. After that, it'll be the Hoosier History Hit, and then we get you on out of here as we usually do. But first, before getting into the Indiana news for the week, I wanted to say, hey, I signed with another network. I joined another cause, that being the College Huddle. They really do. I've been on JR's show, the Big Ten Huddle. That is their flagship Big Ten show. He does discuss basketball in there. So I've been an IU representative on that show. Just awesome being on there, making the connections I have. Just not even being part of the network, just kind of being involved in what they had going on. Awesome to get that invite and finally be a made man with them. So, here's to the partnership between the Often Daunted podcast and the College Huddle Network. Stay tuned for more. This is just going to open doors for more sit downs, more insight, and just talking with other fans. I like to see what these other fan bases are all about. You can get the X's and O's elsewhere. Here, you're just talking, this is atmosphere-based analytical research on my end. It is eye test, and I like the College Huddle Network because it is made by fans. So pumped to be a part of it, and bored to come on that. So let's get right into the Indiana news. Right at the top of the Indiana news, I have to ask this. Are we or are we not the greatest football team of all time? I'm truly just bouncing this idea around in my head. I think we may very well be the single greatest football team of all time. I've never seen a team be able to just press its will upon its opponent as I do this Cignetti team. It's from the top down. It is a procedurally generated mechanized unit of oppression on their opponents, and Cignetti just refuses to let up. I love it. I love everything about what he has going on. You saw Indiana turnout for football. That was unreal. And, you know, I love Indiana football. I went to games as a student. I support them. Man, they have me falling head over heels. It's crazy what Kurt Cignetti is doing. My roommate growing up was just the craziest diehard IU football fan since he was a child. Like, he was one of you guys there every Saturday with his dad. Came up, and he was just always the guy who was talking about IU football way too much in a time where not too many students gave a rat's ass. And it was just awesome getting to text him and be like, hey, can you believe any of this? And then just those guys who genuinely have been ride or die IU football fans their entire lives, there's no way they possibly conceived of them actually getting this. This that like the SEC schools have, that the like Ohio State and Michigan have, a football environment. That was a distant imaginary just idea to them. And Kurt Cignetti has delivered it to every single one of them who thought this was impossible, because it genuinely felt impossible. Yeah, top of the Indiana news. Kurt Cignetti's a wagon, absolutely decimated Nebraska. And I mean, we're still waiting for a test. So once we play somebody, I mean, we only have played half the Big Ten at this point. But sure, you know, I guess we haven't played anyone. All right, on to basketball. There's plenty of great podcasts out there, including the new College Huddle partner of mine, the Hoosier Huddle. Go give them a listen. I mean, I'm sure you already do if you've stumbled upon this depth of the Indiana Athletic well. All right, yeah. Hey, I hope everybody was able to enjoy Hoosier Hysteria. I had a great time there. I took the kids as the, you know, can we possibly do this with a 1 and 3 year old in tow? Can we take them to Assembly Hall, and will it all go according to plan? And we quickly found out as a couple that was an impossibility for us. I do love the Hoosier Hysteria event because it allowed us that test trial without having to spend some money on some actual tickets. But yeah, quickly found out that my toddler and the baby didn't have the proper reverence for Assembly Hall to properly enjoy sitting through any event there. Nonetheless, it was great. I'm going to take the moments of the screenshots in my brain with my daughters. I'm going to take those for what they're worth. Got to take the sour with the sweet. So other than that, I just want to brag a little. Sorry if my voice is a little hoarse. I was at the ALCS. It was incredible, despite the loss. Having watched Indiana just thoroughly whoop Nebraska to the extent they did, made my Guardians loss a little easier to digest. So I truly appreciate the Indiana football team for that as well. But yeah, back to Hoosier Hysteria. It all started out with that new intro video. And I got to say, sweet child of mine, all the cuts, the B-roll, all of it, just top-notch stuff. Continue to put out top-notch stuff our media department does. They just cannot miss. And I truly appreciate that video. Last year's In the Air Tonight was electric. This was a more than respectable follow-up. All right, the scrimmage. Let's talk about the scrimmage. Yeah, you can talk about the skill challenge. There ain't much. I overlooked the skill challenges a little too much prior, so I'll learn from my mistakes better each episode. That's the rule here. I mean, as far as the scrimmage goes, this was an absolute sleepwalk of a scrimmage. There was just little to take away, but let's try to take away what we can. You know, teams... We saw players play on both sides of the ball. Anybody who's saying this game meant anything and the starter should have whooped the bench players, yeah, Sleepers Media, I did watch that. It was abysmal because they obviously didn't watch a minute of it. But, let's just go through the scoring totals. It doesn't mean much, but let's go through it. Mbako had 12, Balo 11, Langdon Hatton 8. Which we'll get into that, but Luke Good 6, Malik Renew 6, Miles Rice 5, Bryson Tucker 4, Kenan Carlisle 2, Gabe Cups 2, Anthony Leal 2, Galloway, Newton, and James DNPs. Yeah, we'll get into that as well. But yeah, just some of my thoughts from this. We absolutely saw the starting five that we'll see take the floor against the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday. I have to believe that the red team was our initial five come tip. From the jump of that scrimmage, I thought it was a sloppy start as we just saw everybody kind of working off the cobwebs. It was a scrimmage. It was a scrimmage, but I was glad to see Umar get chippy in it. He was screaming after some man ones, and I wanted this guy because I just thought he was a piss and vinegar big man. And I think that's what we got here. I want him to live every bit up to that bill of goods for in my own personal head. And he just looks like a tough, monster down low. And I loved seeing him bring some emotion into what is arguably some of the most meaningless basketball he's going to play. Kenan Carlisle came out firing a brick right off the bat, ended his night with 2 points, but you saw that natural ability. You saw how quickly he can get his shot off. Once he starts finding the range, once he gets calibrated, it's going to be lights out. I'm excited for what he can do off the dribble, but more so I'm excited for what he's going to do off of just like dishes from Miles once we get in rhythm with actual play. As for Ja'Kai Newton, DNP, we all knew Trey was going to probably be a DNP. Ja'Kai's has been so shadowed. It's been such a shadowed injury that I just keep hoping we get to truly see him lace it up for the Hoosiers soon enough. Him and Trey are big pieces of this, but luckily I think Mike finally has the depth to navigate this as it's like both of them rehab, but it can't be for too much longer. And I just desperately want to see Ja'Kai Newton. He wants to take the floor as much as we want to see him take the floor. But as the president of the Ja'Kai Newton fan club, I just really want to see this rehab go well. I am going to choose to see that they're taking this time. They're not rushing him. There is no need to rush with the depth we have in the backcourt. So take your time and let's get the full Ja'Kai experience once we get it. Malik showed off some of the anybody can handle the rock mentality that Trey was discussing at Big Ten Media Day. And he was able to get a rebound in the course of one play, get the rebound, go coast to coast for the just flushed home dunk. And as far as his play goes, I like the spacing in this 12 minutes when Umar and Malik were both on the floor. It looked much better than when Ware and Malik were both on the floor. It looks like the team has made the conscious effort to get Malik along the outside just more consistently than we had seen when he was paired with Kalel, which is crazy. I don't know if it's as crazy because, yeah, now it's Malik's turn to play the possible long-distance threat. When Kalel Ware is paired with you on the floor, he is that long-distance threat. He is the big man that can space the floor. Now it is time for Malik to, and I'm glad to see that it looks like they're implementing the play style, the schemes that need to be in place for that to take place. The place. Sorry. Also, Malik sporting those specs, pretty sweet specs on his intro. Prescription or not, I like the look. I like the look, Malik. This looks like it could be the final evolution of Malik Renew. You know, a final evolution of Malik Renew may require, even if they were non-prescripts, no judgment. They may require non-prescript pair of rec specs. I could see a Malik Renew out there balling in some rec specs. I feel like it may be the final piece. Like, all right, nerd minute. I'm going to nerd out for a second. It's like when you hand a Nidorino a Moonstone. I really think that rec specs could do that for Malik's game. All right, this is the kind of in-depth analytical just takes you get here. And Malik rec specs and watch him ball. We saw a glaring flash in the NBA potential that Bryson Tucker has inherently. As when he was playing with the first team, suited up for Red for a bit. Watched him back up McKenzie a bit on the exterior, but ultimately decide to just hit him with a step back jumper, and it was pretty. Splash, no question, just a clean release. And it took me back a little. I was like, oh, okay, so that's why. So, why was Bryson so? Oh, that's why. Because if he can, like, it's the flashes of that. That was over, like, you see special when you, like, you know special when you see it. As a senator once told me, you know special when you see it. And, yeah, that was special. That was special. I'm really excited for what Bryson's length, his, I mean, he's played top tier basketball. We have seen what that can mean defensively, but the length that he has, he seems to be keeping up. Those guys weren't giving their all on the offensive end, so he can't be expected to play all like his all on the defensive end. But I think it's promising. From the 12 minute just snapshot we all got, I like what Bryson Tucker is bringing to this team off the bench. I really just, he looks like he is going to be some, like, he's going to get enough run this season, and I'm going to be excited to find to have another pillar that joins McKenzie, where I'm like, hey, oh, well, Braylon Mullins, oh, Eric Ripe, oh, who gives a crap, man? McKenzie and Bacco, Bryson Tucker, freshmen are available in April. That's all, like, I just want those examples. These guys make it more palatable, losing out. If we're going big game hunting and we lose out in the fall only to come out evergreen in the spring, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Yeah, so that's also why I really want to see great things for Bryson Tucker, mostly just so I can have more ammo to argue with people with. I was very impressed by Langdon Hatton. You know, I really didn't look too much into his game when we got the commit, really didn't know too much about him, but just seeing him take the floor, nice size. He didn't force the issue on anything. On his way to 8 points, sure, it's Indiana basketball and he was the other team's big, so they're going to play through him. But even then, when he would get stuck down low, he would look for other options. He kept his head on a swivel, never really getting trapped. Like one example, he was able to find Luke on just a nicely assisted three-pointer to kind of get the scoring started in this game. And I'm going to go out and say now, his size coming off of the bench as a minute detailer, just cleaning up every last scrap of minutes that this front court leaves up for grabs, like a absolute turkey vulture for front court minutes, I think it's going to prove to be a large piece of this Indiana team's success. Like, no rest for the defense if we are moving as much as we should on the interior. And I can see why Ohio State wanted this guy. I really can. I'm glad he's ours. Again, I'm going to keep prefacing it. You can't take too much from a scrimmage, but I hope that it can kind of be a sign that McKenzie has settled into his role. Not so much that he has settled, but that they have made it apparent this is his role to take, being the marquee scoring option on this team. Highlighted by the buzzer beater three, McKenzie and Bacco really showed that he will be responsible for the large bulk of our production. But more so, a lot of guys wouldn't want it any other way. You saw that even in those 12 minutes, guys were looking to set up McKenzie for the opportunity to flush it, for the opportunity to take the three. It was a scrimmage, but they were consistently looking to get him in the best spots throughout. I liked it, man. I'm going to choose to optimistically read way too far into this game. So just come on, follow along. If he can find his shot, at least at the rate that he ended his freshman year, these Hoosiers have a weapon right out of the gate. I think he could take plenty of people off guard, maybe not so much right in the conference, but he is not getting the shine nationally that I think he should. I think that he could explode onto the scene if he just comes into this season like he ended last season. So I expect him to absolutely demolish the doors of the scene when he shows us what he was doing all summer. And he can do it all on the offensive end. And I was just really pleased, even in these 12 minutes, of how he was recovering defensively, even in the scrimmage. Yes, even in the scrimmage. Remember where our guy was last season. Remember where Mackenzie Mbako was last season. He's made strides, and it's only going to get better. It has to. And lastly, I liked seeing free throws fall in Assembly Hall. These are my last thoughts on Hoosier hysteria. I loved seeing free throws fall in Assembly Hall. Don't even have the scrimmage percentages here, but boy, I like to think that if anywhere near the national average, we may be winning more games than we're losing. It seems like, you know, it's the small things in basketball. You win those small battles, you could win a bunch of games. Free throw shooting looked better. I just need anything near competent, and I truly believe this team's a contender. All right. That's all for Hoosier Hysteria. It was a fun event. I love the light shows. My daughters went nuts when they saw fireworks inside. That was new for them. It was a great time for the family. And again, any parents out there, newly wed young parents with young children, and you want to do the Indiana athletic event trial with children, Hoosier Hysteria is the perfect event to do it. All right. Umar Ballo found himself named to the Fox preseason All-American second team. Fox preseason All-American second team. He found himself there with the likes of Braden Smith. Those were the only two Big Ten representatives for either the first, second, or third teams. In other Indiana news, after I reported on the last episode, we saw the 25 tender challenge fall short at the Fine Arts Plaza as only 19 of the 25 chicken tenders were housed. B-Town Moose had boots on the ground. We needed to get those last six. Looks like the culture still needs to change as far as housing chicken tenders. So I think WBR tried to rectify it on his own, eating 25 at 25. Well done. A light congratulations, because we haven't won. We needed shit on the season yet, but to both the men's and women's programs for being ranked in the preseason AP polls. This is the first time. Yeah, you guys all know it. This is the first time that men's and women's and football are all ranked at the same time. Indiana University Athletics is in a special place right now. Hasn't been a better time. I'm blown away with just how happy Indiana's making me on all fronts. I appreciate the hell out of it. Pam Dolson, I'm giving you credit, man. You hired a real one. Oh, Indiana released the schedule along with networks for each game. And yeah, there's about four Peacocks, but I mean, by far the worst TV network has to be the Tennessee Charity Exhibition. Now, I originally thought that when I thought SEC Plus was a new thing I had to subscribe to. But luckily in this interview to come, the sit down to come, Michael filled me in that I should be okay because I already do have that ESPN Plus subscription. Congrats to Oladipo joining ESPN as an analyst. Oladipo's just on my Mount Rushmore personally on campus at the same time as him. Just such a special player. So sad to see his NBA career get hampered over and over by injury. There wasn't a single guy as exciting as him that I saw in the cream and crimson. There truly wasn't. And I'm excited to see him take on this new challenge. Hoosiers in the NBA. There you go. This week, Andy Katz announced his top 10 Final Four dark horses. And yes, they do have plenty of names on there to spark up plenty of engagement. But I am going to take a little pride in how he did rank them. Number one, Indiana. Number two, Arkansas. Three, Kentucky. Four, Rutgers. Five, Creighton. Seven, Illinois. Ohio State, number eight. Those are the other Big Ten teams. And yeah, I agree with Andy Katz. I think that we're ranked too low. A lot of people are saying that that's the Mike Woodson like buff, but yeah, they're being daunted. Once Mike can prove that he can win with this roster, Indiana will be considered a contender and no longer just a dark horse. Obviously, they're the number one dark horse because they are soon to be a contender in my eyes. Yes, this is Ignorantly Optimistic Takes on Indiana Basketball. Thank you for tuning in. KenPom hates this squad. KenPom released his projections for the Big Ten and currently has Indiana finishing 10th in the Big Ten. Absolutely abysmal. Has us ending with a 10-10 record. And absolutely disrespectful with the roster that they have. People don't trust Mike Woodson and Pete, like, the numbers don't, but God dang it, I do. I do. I'm just letting Jesus take the wheel. Woodson take the wheel. Do something with this squad. Prove these number dorks. They are just that. Please. We had boots on the ground Monday as John Fanta was hanging out with the IU basketball team in Bloomington. And it's just really awesome getting to see John, like my favorite Big Ten basketball or my favorite basketball personality is John Fanta. I think he's electric. I think he is must watch everything. I just love his passion for the game and I love following that passion. And go check out all of his. I'm not going to just say what would happen down in, on all of his interviews and sit downs in Bloomington with our staff, but I did want to bring up just one interview he had with Luke, who it was really awesome getting to hear Luke's perspective on his biggest surprise from the roster so far. Like, John had just asked him who surprises you the most out of who you didn't get to play with. And he said Miles was special, but he was familiar with Miles's game because they had scouted him for Illinois. So he went with Kane and Carlisle. He said that, he's just really exploded onto the scene. And it was cool to get that perspective. We're all excited to see what these guys can do. But these guys who just started playing together, they have to go through that same process, learning each other's games just as quickly as we're going to learn these guys' games. Actually quicker, obviously quicker. Hoosiers in the NBA, Brian Windhorst on Kalel Ware's first preseason game. I wanted to bring this up because I just love Wendy propping up the Hoosiers. Wendy had shared on his podcast, did you guys see what Kalel Ware, the number one pick for the Heat, did in this game? This guy looks like Derek Lively with a three-point shot. Let's not overreact, but whoa. And again, there were times where we just gave Kalel the ball and said, go win this game. And sometimes he damn well did. Kalel Ware was a special talent. He is a special talent. And it's no wonder he's taking the NBA by storm. All right, on to recruiting for the Indiana side. Overall, since the Trent Sisley commit, it's been tough sledding for our staff in trying to get these targets. We got the transfer portal. We have April freshmen. We have Mackenzie and Bacco. And then next year, I will be able to say we have Bryce and Tucker. Like, you can find these guys. There's no reason to freak the hell out right now. We are just fine. Eric Ribe made his decision on 24/7 Sports after having whittled it down to IU, Kansas, Oregon, UConn, and Creighton. And he has decided UConn will be his home next season. God bless Eric. Have fun in stores. When March comes, we're taking you down. Sorry, dude, you've joined the wrong team. Seems like a lot of people are sour on the idea of Braylon not committing to Indiana. If you're listening to this Wednesday or Thursday, he may very well be a UConn commit. Who cares? Who cares? With the ever-shifting sands of the NIL era, we can find high school superstars once they become available late in the game. You don't think there are going to be these guys who are like, I don't like where my projection is. I think I'm going to stay and start for your team. But I have this five-star coming in. He's supposed to be starting for my team. Tough. I'm coming back because I don't like my outlook on the NBA. That stuff happens now, and those freshmen will become available in April. When time gets tough like that, then money talks a lot. I think we have a chance in that. Don't worry, you guys. Recruiting, high school recruiting is, it's been nerfed. It's been, NIL has nerfed it. It does not matter like it did. I look at the key players for the, like, UConn was, I guess they had Klingon. Still, I just don't think it matters the way it used to. It's easy breezy, guys. It's easy breezy. No worries on filling rosters now. Let's just worry about the roster we currently have filled. Let's not cry about the world ending because of recruiting, as we are just on the cusp of an exciting new season. Relax. Give Woody the wheel. God. All right, on to the next one. You all saw it. Tony Bennett finally raises the white flag, retiring from Virginia. After a dominant career, including two Naismith Coach of the Year awards, a national title, tired of NIL battles, and of course he is, Tony Bennett is finding his way out of college basketball. His old way is done. He's made himself, he's made enough to see himself out. I can't blame him one bit. If he isn't interested in keeping up with the demands of today's coaching, yeah, man, you made your money. Go take it easy. I would think Izzo could do the same for MSU fans at this point. If you as a coach don't want to play this new game, these guys are getting tired of the never-ending treadmill that is keeping up in today's college landscape, and they can find their way out. I'm happy for Tony Bennett. He's probably going to live a much calmer lifestyle, a much happier lifestyle. And, yeah, it looks like the job falls to longtime assistant Ron Sanchez to take over the reins for the Cavaliers. That being said, that is such a crazy, weird style of basketball to try to take over and keep running sufficiently. It looked like the Virginia experiment was coming to an end. Hey, that experiment got a national title, so it's a successful experiment. But that just drag out brand of basketball is probably not long for this world, because I can't imagine that anybody other than Tony Bennett can keep it running as it was. Because even then, Tony Bennett, it looks like, no longer was able to run it like it was. And yes, the AP preseason poll has dropped. Top 25. Yeah, I mean, you saw us all there at number 17. Number 17, a little low for my liking, but I do appreciate the climb we get to do. You know, starting up high, that's just all stress. Nowhere to go but down is the worst. Let's have a little climb. Let's have a little fun as we pass Purdue on our way to the top. All right. Weird, weird event for Michigan State basketball, as Devin Booker was warming up in the Suns preseason game in East Lansing in a Michigan State Spartans warm-up. In the interviews to follow the game, he had said, "I always wanted to be a Spartan." And it's just weird because I really thought that Devin Booker could have always been a Spartan. He for sure took some Cal cash. Can't blame him. Illegal at the time, but yeah, that's just such a weird comment, man. I always wanted to be a Spartan. So yeah, let's let you wear some Spartans gear. That's cool. That's just cool. Go out there and rep us. That's weird to me. Also weird. And if Woodson did this, if our head coach did this, I would be livid. I would. Like, St. John's fans can say what they want, but just in other weird outfits for individuals, Rick Pitino was dripping, absolutely dripping head to toe in UK blue. When he was in attendance to speak on behalf of Mark Pope during the Blue Madness tip off for Kentucky. And yeah, just what a losing look for the St. John's institution. Why? And also, why go to this extent? Why does Kentucky continuously have other people come in and sell Mark Pope to the crowd that he is already on board with him? Why do they feel the need to consistently sell him still? He's there. He's your coach. Let's move on. So far on Rothstein's 45. Yes, we have some of Rothstein's 45 so far. Looking sharp as hell, Rothstein, and delivering those, just absolutely telling me what to think about the college basketball landscape. I truly appreciate it, John. I have to imagine I'm not going to agree with one of your Rothstein 45, but so far the Big Ten teams included in that Rothstein 45 are number 42, Rutgers, number 35, Michigan, number 34, Michigan State, number 33, Illinois, number 29, Maryland, number 19, Ohio State, number 16, UCLA, and number 15, Indiana. And that's all he's revealed as of Monday, but I'm sure Purdue will be one of the next teams out of his mouth. UCLA will honor the late Bill Walton at its men's basketball game on February 23rd against Ohio State. I saw this headline and I just wanted to take the time to point out just how really, truly, utterly disappointed I am that we don't get to experience full-blown West Coast Bill on our late night trips now that we have the West Coast involved in the Big Ten. I was excited for what his commentary would bring. I don't want it all the time. I don't want it all the time. I couldn't have it all the time. But I was interested in, you know, one or two games this season. Bill on the mic, having a good time. You know, maybe that's when I put my feet up and pour a drink or something. Have a little fun with Bill. Like I could have seen those games being a fun experience for Big Ten fans who didn't get that Bill Walton coverage that could have came with these Pac-12 teams. Matt Norlander with CBS's Eyes on College Basketball has ranked his top 101 teams. And I just wanted to bring up where he had Indiana and what Big Ten teams he says is above Indiana. Number 20, he had Indiana. Number 18, he had Michigan. Number 16, UCLA. Obviously, he's not thinking that Mick has been playing Big Ten basketball the whole time in the Pac-12 in that playing Big Ten basketball opponents with Big Ten basketball in mind is not going to yield the results that it once did. And then it had Purdue at he had Purdue at number seven, proving Matt truly believes, like much of Purdue's fan base, that Edie wasn't all that we as the Hoosier fan base, like we give him credit for being all that. And apparently he, along with the Purdue fan base, just feel like nothing was needed to replace everything that he brought them. I think it's a shame that they disrespect such a legend of their institution this way. Ugh. I feel bad for the guy. Breaking overnight, SEC and Big Ten in preliminary talks to play a series of challenge non-conference games against each other that would further their primacy in FBS and stiff arm private equity and Super League incursions. Yeah, they're doing a football, yeah, like a Big Ten SEC challenge for football, which is a cool idea. I do like that. If the non-conference, each Big Ten team had to play a SEC team, I do like that. But this is just more sign that the two football super leagues are getting in bed closer and closer together, and we soon will break off. I truly believe we're it's not long for this world that we don't break off. But hey, glad we have a rolling football team at the time of breaking off. I mean, if there's any better time to have a football team as dominant as ours, it's, I mean, I don't know of one. KenPom's first rankings dropped, and damn. IU graces the number 39 spot. Brutal. Ahead of us, Maryland. And if this Maryland team finishes ahead of us, we have to burn down everything's got to go. Because I refuse to buy into Maryland again. I buy into Maryland every year. I think they're going to be better than they are. And they lost Jameer Young. Jameer Young was a superstar. Say what you will. I don't think Julian Reis can dominate in the front court like everyone's expecting him to. Again, he had 0 points against Purdue. On principle alone, as a big man in the Big Ten, you need to drop a single bucket on Zach Edey. Yeah. Again, the number dirt dorks are getting out of control. Michigan State is ahead of us. Michigan State is rumored to be starting Simon Zapala this season. And if you're like, who is that? That's okay. Don't worry about it. There's not really a reason you should know. He averaged 9.8 points per game and 5.6 rebounds per game as a 7-footer in the Big South Conference. I mean, I'd have to imagine. Yeah, I'd have to imagine most Big Ten centers are going to absolutely wreck up the Big South Conference. But that's what they're bringing to the table this year, and they're ahead of us. So, numbers hate me. They hate the teams I love. Results around the country, around the conference. Let's talk about some of the charity exhibition game results. First off, St. John's 91, Rutgers 85. This was the game we finally got to see the two freshmen entering Rutgers. These two freshmen, they absolutely lived up to the billing, coming out of the gate, just absolutely dropping buckets. While it was cool seeing these two make their debuts, the loss of guys like Mawat Meg and Clifford Omarui were glaring. 70 points came from those newcomers, Bailey 25, Harper with 20. And yeah, just St. John's destroyed them on the boards. And that's where you saw Mawat Meg and Clifford Omarui's absence. You felt it in just how dominant St. John's was able to decimate the Scarlet Knights on the boards. Yeah, the game was close because of all that production they were getting from the freshmen. They are special offensive talents. But if Rutgers isn't going to be able to scrap down low and fight for those rebounds, it's going to be a long season. St. John's Ejiofor had his way on the glass with 13 boards as they won that rebounding battle 46-37. Michigan was able to beat Oakland 92-48 in Detroit with four players scoring in double digits. The size difference was pretty hilarious. A shame to see such a gifted Oakland team from last season just absolutely gutted after they went head-to-head with Kentucky and took them down in March. They looked really great. Michigan did look great. They looked good. They looked dominant on the interior, and they should have. While I say they looked great, they should have looked great with the size difference. They were miles larger. They were miles longer, and they were just a class above. That's exactly how it should have went. They have another exhibition this Friday against Toledo. All right, we're going to get you on to the Flaunted and the Daunted, and then it's on to Burke's Big Five before getting you on to the preview. So stick around. Now, here I am with your second installment of the Flaunted and the Daunted. This is a new segment I'm doing each episode where I will be bringing up the most flaunted and the most daunted individuals of the week. First off, flaunted. Let's start with flaunted. Kurt, and the Indiana Hoosiers, they're there again. Damn, they are flaunted. These boys are undaunted, flaunted, and just absolutely taking it to every opponent that falls in their way. They are a runaway. I mean, they are an absolute rocket ship. Kurt Cignetti has built. He has built an absolute rocket ship in Bloomington, and this team is going places. Absolutely flaunted for just bodying the entire state of Nebraska. That was embarrassing what we did to them, and I love it. Absolutely flaunted every single one of those Indiana football Hoosiers. Flaunted Indiana Admissions. Indiana Admissions is flaunted this week because both Big Noon and the Barstool pregame shows were in absolutely electric atmosphere. I was watching them from afar. Couldn't make the game this time. But that's how you sell a program. Come to this football school. That Indiana was a football school on Saturday. It was crazy to see. Absolutely flaunted Indiana Admissions. Indiana looking good this week. No surprise here. Daunted, the Nerds. The Nerds. KenPom, Torvik, all of them. Every single one of them. Evan Miyakawa on Rutgers. This is what I pulled for just an example of Nerds being out of control. Evan Miyakawa on Rutgers. According to my simulations, the Rutgers According to my simulations, the Rutgers ceiling is 14th and the floor is 224th. Keep in mind that my model is super low on the Rutgers this year to begin with. But there is absolutely a wide range of outcomes here. Their numbers, Evan Miyakawa's numbers, based on his simulations, wherever they can range from, are from 14th in the country to 224th. What are we doing here, lending any credence to this? The fact that Torvik has somehow taken over as the guy in town also is alarming to me. I don't know what kind of politics are going into all of this. It's always politics if somebody's trying to take down Indiana basketball. But I'm just starting to think that all of this is far less math and far much more con. It's so nerds, daunted. Daunted Nebraska football. To watch what we are doing after they've tried everything imaginable to have a season be as much of a rocket ship as ours is, brutal. And they have to watch us do it in the same damn colors too. That's gotta suck. Daunted. That has to be so daunted, dude. Be more daunted. You can't. Purdue football. I guess you can. Purdue football and Ryan Walters. Another week passed since since last. And they're only lost to start the season. Wait, what? Another week passed. Since their only win to start the season, as the Boilermakers have fallen to 1-6. Just some nasty rumors swirling around the Walters camp at this time. But if you ask somebody who isn't me, because I'm not speaking on the matter, I'm not doing that. But if you ask somebody who isn't me, one might smell a frame job to just get out of a massive payday for an institution that is arguably allergic to handing out massive paydays. I smell something stinky there, but, Purdue football daunted once again. Hate to see it. On to Birds Big Five. All right. For this week, I have the Birks Big Five, five best basketball brand identities. This includes uniforms, iconography, stadium colors, all of it. Just whatever I assume, whatever I affiliate with your basketball brand. This is how I think it stacks up in the Big Ten. Yes. Again, this is the last one that I really have to comb through and kind of, have a little fun on the show, because we get real basketball to look forward to next time. I can, have some Big Five with some real substance behind it. But until then, number five, the Big Ten basketball brand identities, Illinois, Brad Underwood's really brought them back up to prominence, but those retro uniforms, Illinois has a clean look about them. They have a clean look about them, and Brad Underwood's starting to give them a clean, a reputation and identity. And I appreciate it. It's the number five basketball identity in my mind. Number four, pains me to say it, but Purdue. The golden black is depressing. It is upsetting. It is ugh. But it is original. I'll give them that. It's original. The script uniforms are clean. The Mackey Arena is a wild house. You got to give them credit where it's due. Purdue, number four. Number three, Michigan State. Now, Michigan State's branding is iconic. It is but it is iconic because of those Izzo runs. And unfortunately, this while it is at number three currently in my head as Big Ten basketball brands, I think it could be surpassed if Izzo just continues to be asleep at the wheel. Number two, UCLA. Banners fly forever, UCLA. Banners absolutely fly forever. And uniforms and colors that win banners are remembered forever. Number two, best branding in the Big Ten for basketball, UCLA. Number one, it's Indiana. It's Indiana. Go elsewhere if you don't like this bias. The drip is immaculate. Assembly Hall decimates the environment of Pauley Pavilion. They all hate us because they all ain't us. Indiana's basketball branding is peak Big Ten basketball branding. End of story. Again, you have to remember that as well. UCLA may have more titles, but I'm talking Big Ten branding. We are far more affiliated with the Big Ten. All right. Let's get you on to my, some thoughts. Okay. Let's just get into some thoughts of mine regarding Tennessee before I get you on and down with Michael. Knoxville, Tennessee this Saturday at 3 p.m. The Hoosiers will be taking on the Tennessee Volunteers. And luckily, we just get to watch the Hoosiers beat up on Washington and then coast right into this one on ESPN+. It's going to be a fun day for a Hoosier fan, a good day of sports. At number 13 on KenPom currently, as we don't have much basketball to talk about in the preview, I will be forced to cite the KenPom, even though I just announced the dorks. Number 13, Tennessee. They are premiering with the number 35 adjusted offense and the number 4 adjusted defense with that 13th ranked in KenPom. A few of my thoughts prior regarding the Tennessee program in particular. Dalton Connect may have adjusted the way that Rick Barnes looks to operate his program. I truly believe that, like, moving forward, the Dalton Connect experiment had to have changed Rick Barnes. It looks like he sought to bring in longer shooting types as opposed to his big bruising prototypes that he has been accustomed to taking in. For example, new transfer Igor Milicic. This guy is a long stretch five. He shoots 38 from deep. Rick Barnes is looking to spread the floor more because he spread the floor once he liked the way it looked. So whatever their experience coming in, Rick Barnes always has a baseline built on tough defense that at worst, he's going to bottom out there. They're going to play stifling defense at worst. We just have to hope that their production doesn't match that. Zakai Ziegler, a consistent nuisance for opposing front court or back courts at 5'8 and just pressing damn near the whole game. This guy is just a quintessential pest. The biggest addition to this Tennessee Volunteer team since the last time we saw them with the Dalton Connect, with Dalton Connect just taking all their shots, the biggest addition was Chaz Lanier. He looks like he is going to be coming in as that scoring prototype, as the guy that they are going to turn to when they need a bucket. Last season at North Florida, Chaz Lanier was able to average 19.7 points per game and went 44% from deep. That is why he was such a highly touted transfer this portal. Another addition that I really like and that I think plays into that Tennessee defensive mentality that, like, Rick Barnes has made the root of his program is Felix Okpara. I think he will come in and immediately be a shielding force for the Vols at the rim. It'll be interesting to see what kind of finesse and conditioning he comes in with this, because I feel like he couldn't shoulder as many minutes as Ohio State needed him to last year. But here's hoping that Rick Barnes is able to bring him up to speed a bit in Knoxville. Things as old as... Oh, yeah. All right, let's get you on into the my sit-down with Michael. This is Michael with the Vol Fanatics podcast. Vol Fanatics show on YouTube. Go check him out.
What is up, guys, and welcome in. Tonight, I am joined by Burke of the Often Daunted podcast, and it's still football season, but we're going to talk a little bit about this charity basketball game that Tennessee and Indiana are going to be playing in next Sunday. That is October the 27th, but before we get into that, Burke, how are you doing tonight, man, and appreciate you coming on with me.
Oh, I'm doing pretty awesome, man. This is about usually the time of the season where Indiana is all but on to basketball season. But Coach Cignetti has given this program something to really rally behind, and it's such a weird October for any Indiana fan. It's truly just uncharted territory for us. And I got to say, this whole football thing, I'm starting to really like it. I can kind of get what the Vols, the Fanatics, are all about.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. You know, a lot of times we still, well, at least as of recently, we've had a bunch of fans that they just they don't want basketball season to come because football has been looking good. But, man, I'm all Tennessee sports. I'm a basketball guy myself, but I love football. And it's that time of year, man. And I'm ready to start talking about some basketball, but don't want to push football season too far on the back burner. But tonight we're just going to look at some key players for both teams tonight. Just basically give a rundown of what this team is expected to look like, what we expect to see out of these teams on Sunday. So Burke, who are some key players for Indiana this year? Who's got the hype coming out of fall camp?
Well, I mean, it's the era of the transfer portal. So it's going into this season, Indiana fans don't even really know what they're getting into. All we know is that Mike Woodson and staff has put together a loaded roster in the transfer portal. They really did well to clean up who they needed to. But as far as key players go, like the main, it's going to run through, I believe, Miles Rice, who is a new addition to the Indiana Hoosiers from Washington State. He was Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. Bringing him in to just lock down that backcourt. After last season, I mean, I don't expect any of your fans to know this, but we had a captain in Xavier Johnson who, I mean, we just had to ride it out with him. It was an unfortunate way it all kind of went down. Kind of left a bad taste in your mouth, but we're just ready to move on. And we're really hoping that Miles Rice is he's a really long point guard. He isn't the tallest, but the way he does attack the basket, he isn't playing the fastest, but all of his angles are immaculate. He knows how to break into the defense. And then as far as big-time transfers go, we went out and got Umar Ballo. We needed to replace Khalil Ware, and we absolutely did that. Now people think that bringing in Umar Ballo means Indiana is going to still do, like, playing through the post, just slow, methodical offense. I just don't see that to be the case because I feel like Umar Ballo, yes, he is a robust, big-time player, but he doesn't, like, log big-time minutes. And with this team, with Malik Renew, I don't think he really has to. Indiana's best asset this season is going to be the way in which Malik and Umar don't have to be on the court at the same time, but you are getting a top-tier center performance at all times, all 40 minutes of the game for Indiana. So, as far as who's the most important, I think it's them. But you always got to watch out for McKenzie and Bacco. Yeah, sorry, I'm rambling here. But McKenzie and Bacco was co-Big Ten Freshman of the Year. This kid, now Owen Freeman won the other half of it, co-Big Ten Freshman of the Year for Iowa center. Super reliable, super just dependable. McKenzie and Bacco started the season like it was – his defense was abysmal. He just had so many problems in his game. Over the course of the season, it snowballed to such an extent that they had no choice but to also share hit the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Like, if you look at his first half numbers compared to his second, it's just night and day what this kid has become. And if he's coming in, like, everybody expects a sophomore leap from him. If he's coming in just how he ended the season, people will already say, oh, that's that sophomore leap. But no, it was there by the time last season wrapped up. So I'm expecting a huge leap in performance from him. That's the Indiana side. But as far as Tennessee, who do I need to worry about? I know there's Chaz Lanier. You guys went out and did some transfer work yourself. Respect.
Yeah, so much hype around Chaz Lanier, just his athleticism, his ability to score the basketball at all three levels. He was without a doubt the biggest pickup out of the transfer portal for Tennessee this year. Really excited to see him on the court. And it's going to be big having him because there's some big shoes to fill with Dalton Knecht going to the NBA this year. And Tennessee this year looks to try to revamp its offense. Rick Barnes is a defensive-minded coach, always has one of the top defenses in the nation. But this year, looking to try to revamp that offense, too, that has struggled at times over the last few years. As out of the transfer portal, you picked up Chaz Lanier. You also got Igor Milicic Jr. from Charlotte, who is a 6'10", just 3-point lights-out shooter. And then also picked up Felix Okpara out of the portal as well, who is a really physical center from Ohio State. You've probably seen him playing against.
Can I say something on him? That kid is a tough SOB. Like, yeah. That dude, He's a bruiser. I think he was leading the Big Ten in like block percentage, like so for his amount of time on the floor. He was right up there with Khalil Ware, who was an immaculate rim protector. So like Felix Akpara, the way that he just wanted to dip out of the whole Ohio State thing when Diebler took over, I think you guys got a great one in there. Sorry to cut you off there. I just wanted to
share. I appreciate the input there because I've seen some film of him and also seen some of him in fall practice. And man, dude is just an athlete. He's a guy that I think is going to excel in Rick Barnes' system. The guys that are going to be critical for Tennessee this year, you've got the reigning SEC Defensive Player of the Year, Zakai Ziegler, who is just all around. He's the distributor. He's just this pest that is going to get after you for 40 straight minutes in the game. He's back this year. You've also got Jemai Meshack, who is basically filling that like co-captain type role with Zakai Ziegler. He is another guy that he can guard from the one to the five. I mean, we had him last year when we had our bigs get into foul trouble. He came in and guarded Zach Edey and gave Zach Edey some problems, but because of the size difference, I mean, Meshack is 6'4", and Zach Edey's like 7'2". I mean, obviously, yeah. Edey was going to have his way, but, I mean, Meshack gave him some problems whenever he was on him. But he's a guy, he can literally guard every single position on the floor and have success. And his offense, from what I've heard out of fall camp, has really come around this year. He's been the most consistent outside shooter through practice in fall camp, which is really exciting because I love Jemai Meshack. I mean, right now I'm wearing his jersey. Dude is just a fantastic player. He plays with so much energy. And then a guy that really needs to step up this year is Jordan Gainey. He turned out to be a really good defender for Tennessee, but when he came in out of the transfer portal last year, he was expected to be a volume shooter like Connect was, and it just never quite panned out. He couldn't quite find his role. But those are the guys, the main guys to watch out for. I'm excited to see some guys off the bench as well in Cameron Carr, whose athleticism is just through the roof. And then we need some post players to step up. We got some young talent in JP Estrella and Cade Phillips that sat behind Tobe Awaka and Jonas Adu last year. I think that they're going to see big minutes this year and they're going to really step up their game. So those are
I just wanted to ask you the Rick Barnes method, his whole methodology for his play style, I guess. We saw last year a Rick Barnes that we didn't see because he had a piece that, I mean, Tennessee may not have ever had with Dalton Connect.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that he kind of got a little bit of that and kind of wants some more of that. So do you see anything like, I mean, is that what Chaz Lanier's doing? It's going to be Chaz Lanier's.
If there's a guy that's going to step up and be that guy like Dalton Connect, it's going to be Chaz Lanier. And I do think we need that go-to scorer because Tennessee has had – I'm not sure how much you follow Tennessee basketball, but Tennessee has had some fantastic teams over the last few years that really had the talent to go to the Final Four, but you never had that go-to scorer like we did with Dalton Connect. I mean, I was talking to some of the Duke guys from the college huddle a couple years ago. Tennessee had a fantastic second round victory against Duke. And after that game, I was like, man, I am confident Tennessee's making the Final Four. And then just next game laid an egg against Florida Atlantic, who ended up making the Final Four that year because Tennessee went like 5 minutes at the end of the game without a single field goal. It was only free throws that they hit. So I do think if there is that guy, it's going to be Chaz Lanier. But I think this year you might see a few more guys step up and score some, especially with the addition of Igor Milicic Jr. I've seen a lot of his film, and I'm really excited about this guy as well. Yeah, so as far as the matchup itself goes, what do you expect to see out of Sunday's contest? I mean, obviously – both teams want to win, but it's not so much about the win or loss on Sunday. It's about the charity. But what do you want to see coming out of this game that you would say, I consider this charity basketball game a success looking forward to the season?
I want to see a level play. I want to see a level of tempo that matches the just names on the roster. a lot of the shade that Indiana has gotten has been because of the top down. Like Mike Woodson's coaching has left a bad taste in a lot of the national media's mouth. I mean, I'm not here to say one way or the other. I think that he's a great, like he goes out there and gets the guys we need. I love this roster, but he needs to do something with it. Indiana fans are going to be going for his throats if he doesn't. And we just need to see him. We need to see, hey, what were you doing all summer? Like, be ready for this. Indiana's like non-conference, and this is an exhibition. But man, we want, as fans, we want to go out there and, sorry, beat Tennessee really bad.
Like, yeah.
And you guys want to go out there and watch them whoop IU. And it's we want to see that this roster's doing more than we have seen with the talent that we've had on rosters prior. I'm hoping that Indiana can spread the floor more than we ever had, playing through Trace Jackson Davis and Khalil Ware. Umar Ballo really isn't that type of distributing playmaking center. He's just a big bruiser down low. So it's going to be fun to see Indiana have to play a different way. And I just want to see, yeah, good open looks. McKenzie, by the end of the season, was finding his spots just to an immaculate level. And I'm really hoping that that just picks up right where it left off. Yes, it may take a while to get going, but selfishly, I expect them to hit the floor running. I just want them to just figure it out. How about you?
Yeah, I want to see how these transfer guys and these younger guys that are on the roster mesh with the core that is still there. And I want to see how Rick Barnes plays his rotation this year, because I feel like that going into this season, there is about 11 or 12 guys that could see significant minutes this year. It's just a matter of being able to get all those guys on the floor and how they perform when on the floor. I think, obviously, Rick Barnes is going to have these guys in tip-top shape on defense. They're going to be getting after it at all times on defense. I want to see how the offense looks. And as I mentioned, you know, we went out and we got offensive guys in the portal. I want to see if Tennessee's offense can remain at least consistent through all phases of the game. I don't want to see a scoring run where let's just say we outscore Indiana, you know, 22-6 in one stretch, but then we go on a 3 to 4 minute cold spell and allow Indiana to come back into the game. Then you get another one of those, you know, 14-4 runs, and you go on another 2 to 3 minute scoring drought, which is what Tennessee has seen over the years. Even last year at times with Connect, when he wasn't on the floor, Tennessee just did not have that score they could go to. So I want to see consistent scoring from Tennessee this year. I don't have any fears that Tennessee's not going to be giving it their full out effort every single time they're on the floor. It's just a matter of, is the ball going to go through the basket? I just want to see a competitive game, man, because obviously you don't know this. This is our first time meeting each other, but Indiana is actually my second favorite basketball team. I love the tradition of Indiana. You know, I love Alumni Hall. One of my favorite games of all time was the upset of Kentucky on the last second three-pointer. What was that, about 10 to 12 years ago now?
I got that right here.
Yeah.
That's a shot signed by him. Here's my ticket signed by Dick Vitale.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite games of all time there. So, yeah, Indiana is actually my second favorite basketball team. And when I found out that Tennessee and Indiana were doing a charity basketball game, I was so excited for it. I just want to see a competitive game on Sunday, man.
Hey, I love it. I love the surprise fan right here on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything else that you want to know about Tennessee basketball?
No, so I want to know, the SEC really seems to be building like a basketball culture pretty rapidly.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was the transfer portal and now we can all just spend money, and the SEC loves spending money on athletics. I give them all the credit in the world for it. Explain to me what the environment has been like, the snowballing growth of the culture, because It looks conference-wise wide. It genuinely does.
Yeah, so especially over the last few years, there for a while it was, you had Florida was good and everybody else was averaged, and you've always had Kentucky that's been good. But now you're seeing teams start to or you're seeing schools that are buying into wanting athletic or all the athletics across every school to be good. So you're seeing these athletic directors, they're putting funds into trying to build up these sports, and basketball is one of them. You're seeing a league that on any given night, any team can win just because they go out and they compete for 40 minutes. And I mean, Tennessee, for instance, they were the SEC regular season winners last year. They were the SEC champions. They beat every single team in the conference at least once last year, except for Mississippi State, who was a middle of the road team, and got beat by Mississippi State twice, once in the regular season and once in the SEC tournament. And it was embarrassing losses, both games. So it's a conference that is really, it's new to this success at basketball, but just fans wanting to see that success and athletic directors giving the fans what they want by funding these athletic programs, it's unbelievable to see, because we've seen it in football for years and years, but now the SEC truly wants to be the best conference all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, it's an exciting time. You know, I personally want to see the Big Ten follow suit, but our basketball, I feel like the fandom has always kind of stayed plateaued at a pretty impressive level, I guess. But
yeah,
it's astounding to watch what the SEC is doing as a collective, really bringing up their basketball programs.
Yeah. So Burke, you want to tell my folks where they can find you?
Hey, everybody can find me at Often Daunted across all socials. Often Daunted. Now, if you have been paying attention to Indiana football at all, you'll know that Never Daunted is like a big rallying cry of the troops right now. Something we're really all getting behind. But my show was named 3 years prior, and I would have to say it's less of a statement on the program than it is just my circumstances or luck at any given time. It's a play on our fight song. I just wanted to explain that if anybody was like, "What's Often Daunted?" But yeah, you can follow me there. You can find me across a few more of these College Huddle shows. Really awesome that I just joined the crew. Got to be a part of the network, and looking forward to talking more ball with you guys and many others. I'm really excited to just like the opportunities that can come from this for the tournament, for all that upcoming stuff. It more to come from all of us. Follow me again at Often Daunted. Thank you so much for having me on today, Michael.
No problem, man. And for your folks, you can find me and my co-host Skyler. We are the Vol Fanatic Show. You can find us on YouTube as well as on Twitter at Vol Fanatics 1998. I mean, pretty much all major streaming platforms, Apple, Spotify, of course, YouTube, and then Facebook and Instagram as well. So,
hey, go support a Hoosier fan, okay? Go support Michael.
Yeah. Hey, I love some Indiana basketball. Obviously, Tennessee is my number one, but hey, Indiana, they are absolutely a second favorite team that I have. So,
I love it, man.
Yeah. Hey, it's cool what you find out being able to talk to other people that have the same passions as you. So, it's really fun. That's what makes the College Huddle great. Definitely glad to be a part of them, and glad to have you in here as well. So, guys, appreciate you tuning into this one. Make sure you tune in to Tennessee and Indiana. Burke, what time is that game on Sunday?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know.
I was gonna say I can't remember either. That's just bad planning on my part. Yeah, I'd say probably around 3:30. I can't remember.
Keep making
some small talk here. So yeah, we'll find that out shortly. But guys, appreciate you tuning in. As Burke said, make sure you go follow him on social media. Go like the video and subscribe to his YouTube as well. And then like this video on the Vol Fanatic Show and subscribe there as well.
3 p.m. on the SEC Network. Or SEC Plus. So, hey, my fans were crap out of luck. I guess we got to go find another subscription to apply to.
Yeah, well, as long as you have ESPN Plus, you should be able to watch that game because yeah. So SEC Plus, that means it won't be on national TV, unfortunately, because I think it's going to be a great game. But like I said, appreciate you tuning in, guys, and make sure you watch the game on Sunday.
Yep, take it easy. Again, I can't thank Michael enough for coming on and just sharing his Tennessee insight with me. Pretty tough to preview these games as we don't really know as much as we'd like to about our own teams with all the transfers that we got in, but we did the best we could. Now that we have some real ball to look forward to, I look forward to reaching out to this network of College Huddle and bringing in guys more and more often to discuss who we have on the docket for that coming week. Please look forward to more of that. Again, Michael and the Vols Fanatics show, I truly appreciate all just for you taking the time.
This is your Hoosier
history. All right, on to your Hoosier history hit. All right, for your Hoosier history hit, like I said, Hoosier Hysteria Friday, Saturday, ALCS, throat shot, kind of taking it a little easy on this Hoosier history hit. So I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to look at things that are as old as the last time that we matched up with Tennessee. We matched up with Tennessee in basketball last in March of 1985. We are 4-0, by the way, against Tennessee. But since the time that Indiana and the Vols have faced off, I just wanted to go through and name some items or events that may have occurred around that time. So, since March of 1985, both Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick have come out since the last time we played. The Oprah Winfrey Show premiered the following year after Indiana and Tennessee last played. The summer following this game, the Peacock logo made its official debut for NBC. That is the Peacock logo. The Peacock logo, okay? yeah. Pretty old, you know. I would have thought that was older, honestly. But Rocky IV made its debut the following November in theaters. Fujifilm developed the modern disposable camera this year. And modern is weird to say there because I feel like they are no longer modern. But the disposable camera, the invented the last time Indiana and Tennessee played. And last one, but one near and dear to my heart, Lonnie Johnson's Super Soaker is patented the same year. Yes, a easy breezy light bullshit Hoosier history hit for you. All right. Thank you so much for tuning into the Often Taunted podcast. If you like the show, yes, this is the last drop of Indiana content out there on the web. If you are searching out each and every drop, give me a subscribe. If you like the show, want to follow me across all socials at Often Daunted. I am going to have another episode for you here next week. Again, it's been 2 weeks. I've been on a 2-week cycle for this offseason. I'm going to be gearing up once a week, have it to you on those Mondays, maybe Tuesday. I'm going to see what the whole recording and editing process looks like for me once I get into this 1 week streamlined episode. But I truly appreciate you for coming along for the ride. I hope to make the show better each and every episode. I am feeling a little more comfortable on screen. It was a barrier. It was a threshold I needed to cross, and I feel like I'm getting there. Thank you, everyone, for giving me your time. God bless you and yours, Hoosier fans. Lux et Veritas. Take it easy. Down with the Huskies. Down with the Bulls. Down with everybody that ain't us. Peace.